prayer is two-way. It's not me doing all the talking.
That's right.
It's talking to God, and for the most part, doing more listening than I'm doing talking.
Prayer shouldn't just be a last resort when you have a problem. God desires to talk with you all the time. Join Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle as they continue with Getting Your Prayers Answered, next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And I'm doing like this because I can't really wait to get into this. Father, we thank you for your word today. We receive revelation from heaven. And we give you the praise and the thanksgiving. Oh, Jesus, I'm so glad you're the boss of this thing and not some fool. I am just so thrilled with your life and your ministry. Praise God. And we thank you for being our Lord and our Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you join me in welcoming Jerry Savelle to this table? Praise God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let's begin in the Word today. We're talking about prayer, how it works every Christian failure. God never made a failure ever of His people. Every failure is a communication failure. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. You don't know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Now, Jerry, I like fast cars, fast airplanes, fast motorcycles, and all that. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I am accomplished only at one of those. I am accomplished as a professional pilot. I've done a lot of training. I'm not accomplished as a race car driver. I'm not accomplished as a motorcycle rider. I ride, I like it, and I went to riding school, you know, a couple of times. But all I know about fixing a car or fixing a motorcycle is just, you know, but what I have picked up, stumbled over, had to fix myself because I didn't have any money or something. I've never been trained as an airplane mechanic or a car mechanic. You have. I don't have no business trying to fix a fender on a car. Mm-hmm. I can wreck one, but I don't have any fixing one. I remember one time when you fixed my car, first time I ever met you. And man, alive, I was kind of taken back. I mean, I whoppy jawed that front fender pretty bad on that thing. And I had a broken axle or something.
Out the whole left side of that thing.
Anyway.
Quarter panel, both doors,
boy,
and the front fender.
Jerry fixed that thing, I'm telling you. It was absolutely perfect. Now, what's the difference? He knew what he was doing. Trained by people that knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm. Trained by people that had been trained by the people that built the car.
Right.
You need to learn prayer from the man who invented it.
Yeah.
His name is Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. Now, Jerry, you mentioned to me, let's get over here into this scripture here, because in the 18th chapter of
Luke. Yeah. Well, Luke 18, and Jesus speaking here, said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The Amplified Bible says they ought always to pray and not to turn coward, faint, lose heart, and give up.
Now, why would he say that if it wasn't going to do any good and nobody's listening?
Yeah. I mean, he's telling us that, you know, you ought always to pray. Then that creates the attitude that prayer shouldn't be a last resort.
Absolutely.
That prayer becomes a way of life for you.
That's what the Apostle Paul said over in Philippians.
Yeah, and that prayer, we said on yesterday's broadcast, is not just something you do when you're in need, but it is a communication between you and God. That prayer, if you allow yourself to get a new mindset about prayer, it is your fellowship time with God. It's your communication time with God. It's okay to talk to Him about needs, but a lot of times, you know, I may have a need on my mind, but I begin fellowshipping with God, and in the process of Him fellowshipping back with me, because prayer is two-way. It's not me doing all the talking.
That's right.
It's talking to God, and for the most part, doing more listening than I'm doing talking.
Absolutely.
What was that thing you said one time about a guy said, "Here lies a fool"?
Rufus Moseley.
Yeah.
Just a man famous for his prayer life. Mm-hmm. He said he was in a hotel room and he was in the floor all sprawled out, just crying and begging and going on. And he said he just stopped. And he said, here lies a fool that knows nothing, doing all the talking to somebody that knows everything.
Yeah.
He said, I believe I'll shut up and listen.
Yeah.
Changed his whole future.
Well, and that comes right back into that, and you ask amiss kind of thing, you know, because you're praying wrong. I mean, the example I like to use sometimes, you mentioned about my background in automobile bodywork, paint and bodywork. I could do mechanic work, but my specialty was the paint and bodywork. And, and somebody come up to me and say, Jerry, I wrecked my car, and I'd like for you to repair it. I'd say, okay, let me give you an estimate here. And they'd say, you just don't understand. I got to have this car back right away. I said, okay, let me give you an estimate here, and we'll get to work on it just as soon as we can, get it back. No, you don't understand. I got to have it bad. I mean, I can't do it without my car. And, you know, I wrecked it. I said, well, yeah, I see you wrecked it. And they're spending all this time doing all the talking, trying to convince me how bad the car is and how bad they need it.
He didn't hear anything
you said. He hadn't heard a thing I've said yet. Not only that, but he's taken up a whole lot of time that I could be working, you know. And a lot of times, that's the way Christians are. They spend all their time trying to convince God how bad the situation is, instead of saying, God, You're the creator of the universe. If anybody can fix what I'm going through, it's You. I believe I'll just shut up now, since You already know what I have need of, and You are the one who can fix it. You're the source. I'll just shut up here and let You take control.
Would you call that praying the problem?
Yeah.
That's what people do, don't they?
They pray
you
the
know
problem.
What the next step is that is? Well, I'll tell you right now, Savelle, if you ain't going to fix my car, I'll do it myself. Just get in it and back out, and you're still standing there saying, what's the matter with him? But he didn't hear anything you
said.
And
the guy that don't know what he's doing, look at the job when he gets through. He's got a can of spray paint out
he'll,
there.
And he'll be back.
Don't have a clue how to work Bondo, you know.
He'll be back,
you know.
And he still won't listen.
And it's the same thing, you know. We fool around there trying to convince God how bad it is. Then we think, he ain't listening.
Yeah.
And we go try to make it happen ourselves, make it worse, you know. But Jesus said, you ought to pray all the time. You ought to have a prayer mentality, a prayer attitude, where, you know, somebody asked me one time, you know, I guess they thought I was going to give them some great spiritual answer. They were doing an interview for a magazine over in England and said, Dr. Savelle, how much time do you spend in prayer every morning? And I said, well, you know, there's some mornings I don't just have a set time. I mean, I get up with a prayer attitude. I get up communicating with the Lord.
You pray first thing.
I get up saying, good morning, Lord.
Pray
you know,
all day.
Lord, what are we going to do today? You know, I stay in a prayer mode. I'm listening all the time. I'm listening for God when I drive. That's the reason I let Carolyn drive most of the time, because I'm in my automobile, that's a think tank. That's a communication place with God, you know. And so you're in a prayer mode all the time where you're listening all the time. When I come into my office, when I'm in town, one of the first things I do is I turn on my CD player there or something, you know, where I can create an atmosphere of praise and worship with good praise and worship music, and just create an atmosphere that is conducive for hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, and even though I may be answering letters, I may be writing an article, I may be working on sermon notes, I'm listening all the time. So when Jesus said, you ought to pray always, not just when you have a need, not just when you're in trouble, but pray always. Communicate with God all the time. A lot of times, I never get around to talking to Him about my need, but somehow in the process, my need gets met.
Well, there's a revealing in there.
Yeah.
And while you're in there to do His work and to listen to Him, He's got angels and all kinds of ways to do your work.
Yeah.
That's over there in the book of Hebrews. It said, get into that rest.
Mm-hmm.
You cease from your own work the way He ceased from His. As you were talking, I was thinking back in the early years, early days of this ministry, when we first found out that the written word is God speaking to me,
mm-hmm.
I began to hear His voice. This thing speaking to me, this word is talking to me. And I would begin to pray and I'd hear these words. It changed my whole concept of what I saw around me because I began to see it through His word.
Right.
And that changed everything.
Yeah. And then when you learn, as I said on yesterday's broadcast, of course I learned this from you 42 years ago, that when you make God's word His part of your prayer life, when every prayer you pray is based on what you know His Word says. Jesus even said that in the 15th chapter of John.
Yeah.
He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will.
What you will.
And it shall be done
to
you.
It will be done.
And He's saying the key is, if you want every prayer answered, you know, sometimes people think, you know, you're being egotistical when you say this, but I'm saying it based on what I've learned from the Word, that, you know, unanswered prayer in our lives is non-existent. God answers my prayers.
Yeah.
I don't know about unanswered prayer because, first of all, I don't pray anything that I don't already know up front is not in accordance with His will. And I learned what His will was from His Word.
From His Word.
His Word
yeah.
is a revelation yeah. Yeah. of His
yeah.
will.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask something stupid that I know is not in line with His will for my life.
If you do, you ain't going to have any faith for it.
Right.
Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word.
So that eliminates unanswered prayer. And when He says that if my words abide in you, well, for the Word to abide in you, to take up residence in you, that means you're spending a lot of time in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
That means that you're fellowshipping with the Word of God every day of your life. Like God told Joshua, meditate in my Word by day and by night. So, you know, you taught me that 42 years ago. I got into the Word and I hadn't got out since. And over a period of time, you know, the Word began to abide in me. And then everything that comes up in your life, your immediate response is, what's the Word say about that?
Mm-hmm.
What's the
mm-hmm.
Word say about this? What's the Word say about that? And then you always pray based on what the Word says. And when you do, you have this confidence because Jesus said, when the Word's abiding in you and you're praying according to the Word, then you can ask whatever you will and it shall be done. Not maybe, not might, not 50% of the time. It'll be done every time.
It will be done. In yeah. all things, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and thanksgiving, continue to let your wants be made known to God.
Yeah.
So, I remember reading this back in the beginning days. I was just learning these things. Someone asked Smith Wigglesworth that question, how much time do you spend in prayer? What's your prayer time every day? He said, I don't usually spend over about 15, 20 minutes. in prayer. Now, this is the apostle of faith. I mean, there's 17 documented cases of the dead being raised in his ministry. I'm talking about in hospitals, man, and stuff like that. And they were shocked. But he said, I don't ever go 15 or 20 minutes without praying.
Yeah, right. That's right.
I just took it and ran with it, man. I'll tell you, that's like pouring gas on fire when I heard that.
Yeah.
He only prays about 15, 20 minutes, but he don't go over about 15, 20 minutes without praying.
Yeah.
So he's this constant, continual prayer life. One place he said he learned to do that by taking communion every day.
Yeah.
He would get up, go before the Lord, and take communion.
Mm-hmm.
He would serve communion to himself before the Lord and go on about his business.
Yeah.
And he listened to God all day. He started out by promising the Lord that he would witness and win one soul every day. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't go to bed until he got that done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was sometimes it got pretty serious. I mean, he had to hear God to do it. Well, that's what started him in this prayer life and produced so richly in his life.
Right, right. And that was just a matter of continual communication
with God. He couldn't read or write.
You know,
he
had to depend on God.
He had to depend on him, and he learned how to read doing that. He never read anything but this book in his life.
Yeah.
But he learned to read it listening to God. The Holy Ghost taught him to read the Word because he wanted to pray in line with it.
Right.
Oh,
well, you know, this is what Paul's talking about when he said, pray without ceasing. Well, how are you going to do that? How are you going to pray without ceasing? To the religious mind, that you think, well, man, that means you just have to quit your job and pray all day.
No.
Pray without ceasing means you're in a listening mode all the time.
You do your job.
Yeah, you do your job, but you got God on your mind while you're doing it, you know?
Think about two police officers that are partners. They're in communication all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
Flight lead and his wingman. A man and his wife should be this way. They should be constantly, even if they're separated for several hours, they're in constant communication with one another in their minds and in their hearts. They're in tune walking together.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what a prayer life is.
Yeah.
It's not just gimme, gimme. It has to do with lifestyle, a victory in faith over every situation of life, because his exceeding great and precious promises pertaining to all life and godliness. And he's saying that through those promises, we become partakers of the divine nature of God.
Mm-hmm.
When you got born again, that divine nature was put in there.
Right.
But it has to grow and develop, and it'll grow and develop like God.
Mm-hmm.
If you water it with the water of the Word, you start out seeking the milk, and then you seek the meat, and that's where our ministries come in. And that prayer life development, oh, man, it is life.
Yeah. Well, you know, I remember when I first come to the Lord in 1969, and obviously, you know, not knowing anything, like you used to say, scripturally illiterate, not knowing anything.
And born free.
Yeah.
Hey, and, man, no tradition.
And, you know, what little bit I'd heard, you know, from a religious standpoint, I didn't see anybody getting results with it. So, you know, I thought, well, man, if this is going to work, if I'm going to be the kind of Christian God wants me to be, the kind of father he wants me to be, the kind of husband he wants me to be, the kind of preacher he wants me to be, I better learn to pray.
Yeah.
You know, because the Bible said what's impossible with man is possible with God. So that's where I need to be linked up. What man can't do, God can. So I need to learn how to communicate with the God in whom nothing is impossible.
Yeah, I want to be with Him.
Yeah, and I want to learn how to partake of that power. Learn how to partake of His unlimited ability. And the way I do that is through prayer. And of course, you know, in my case, the Lord told me to shut that business down, that paint and body shop down, and spend the next 3 months in that bedroom studying the Word, no less than 8 hours a day. Yeah. Treat it like it was the job I had. And man, I had so many debts in my business. I had so many debts personally. And now God's telling me to go to a bedroom and study the Word 8 hours a day. And that'll win you a lot of friends and relatives think you lost your mind and all that. But I knew that if I was obedient to Him, that what seemed impossible to me and what was impossible to me, if I learned how to communicate with the one in whom nothing was impossible, then I'd come out of that bedroom with a revelation of how to communicate with God, how to tap into His power, and how to have every need in my life met. And I began there, and I mean, reel-to-reel tapes of yours, and one of them on the subject of prayer. And I took that reel-to-reel tape, started playing that. This is my actual notebook from 1969.
Praise God.
And here's the section. I made a section on every tape you had. And this is the one on prayer. And the title was How to Go into Prayer. Number one, have your Bible. Have your Bible.
Don't go in there without your Bible.
Number two, base your prayer on the answer, the Word. Don't pray the problem. Base your prayer on the answer. And then I just outline that whole tape. And then I'd do that. Every morning I'd get up and I'd just follow those steps. You know, realize you're the righteousness of God. Realize you can go boldly to the throne of grace.
Have you ever changed it?
I hadn't changed it. I'm still using the same outline.
I did it this morning.
Yeah, still using the same outline. And for 42 years, I've been getting results.
The difference being the growth that comes, and it does.
Yeah.
Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Mm-hmm. And it creates spiritual growth. Your spirit man has to grow the same as your physical person had to grow to become an adult. Your natural body grows in a natural growth system that was put inside your body. But the spirit man doesn't grow until the Word is fed in there. It can't stay static. It'll begin to drift back where it was. Mm-hmm. And it has to be a continual
thing.
We ain't got into none of the good part yet, but all of this is just sure stirring me up. I tell you, I love the Word of God, don't you? Praise God. Brother Jerry and I'll be back in just a moment.
Every prayer you pray can be a winning prayer. God has given us the playbook with all the rules of the game to teach you the right prayer for the right time. To be effective in prayer, as in sports, you have to use the proper equipment and guidelines. You don't have to try to figure out if you're praying by the right rules anymore. You can know how to pray correctly. The Call to Prayer package will help you learn. For more than 44 years, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have been putting God's Word into practice, and they've developed a lifestyle of faith and prayer that works. Their latest Lifeline kit, How to Get Your Prayers Answered, is an in-depth 10-day spiritual action plan designed to help you move from basic to world-changing prayer. Spiritual MVP and longtime fellow minister Dr. Jerry Savelle has written The Prayer of Petition. It is your hands-on guide to the prayer that gets results and your tool to stopping opposition. This winning team is here to coach you to victory. It's time to get your prayers answered every time. Prayer is the foundation of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and now you can draw from over 40 years of ministry experience from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland on this life-changing subject. If you want prayers that get results, then go online and order your Call to Prayer package today. This power pack set is available at a 35% savings for just $29. The Call to Prayer package will change your prayer life and give you the foundation for effective prayer. Receive an additional product discount at 48-hour processing when you order online.
Now this is from page 186 in Prayer of Petition by Jerry Savelle. I went a step further and got out all my records to investigate exactly how much money I had given to the poor. I added up all the receipts and found out the total was in the thousands of dollars. I showed this figure to God and prayed, all I'm asking according to the facts and figures that I've laid out before you is for you to honor what you promised in your word. That was my petition. Now, some people think it's just blasphemy to talk like that before God, but God said, put me in remembrance of my word.
That's right.
So, that is my petition. I didn't demand anything from God. I simply petitioned Him. I knew what His word said, and I also knew that He promised that He would never, that His word would never return to Him void. Do you know what happened? My prayers were answered before midnight. That's right. I'm not exaggerating. It came to pass that very day.
Yeah.
Now, that's what that's the way God designed this thing to work, and there wasn't nothing the devil could do about it.
That's right. You know, the Lord taught me that. The reason I was bold in doing that, He said, because, son, I never forget a seed sown. He said, you give up on them, but I never forget a seed sown.
Now, you can take Jerry's book and study this. Now, that was quoted from the book of Isaiah. So you go in there and you read that whole chapter in that, and then you read the whole book of Isaiah, and you wrap and couch that whole thing in what God said about it. Now, along with Jerry's book is How to Get Your Prayers Answered, your 10-day spiritual action plan. This is how you put those things into action. So, oh, Jerry, I wish we'd had these things,
That's probably from these old notes from 69.
It is from those notes, praise God. Amen. So you get hold of these things, order it, pray over it, live in it, teach it to your family, get strong in these things, experiment with it, get in the Word, find out these things, praise God. Father, we pray for this and television audience all over this world and concerning revealing the life of prayer to a person of faith in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Brother Kenneth and Brother Jerry. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. While you're online, you'll discover a resource of faith-based teaching and free information to help you find the answers you're looking for. If you need prayer, call Kenneth Copeland Ministries prayer line today. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right.
Join us for the 2011 31st Annual Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas, July 4th through the 9th. 5 power-packed days designed to put you personally in touch with God. Don't miss this opportunity to discover your full potential. Immerse yourself in the Word with teachings from Kenneth Copeland, Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar. Friday morning, join Kenneth Copeland for a dynamic partners meeting. Saturday morning, Gloria Copeland teaches healing school. Come expecting to receive your healing. Terry Copeland Pearsons hosts pre-service prayer Monday through Friday. Youth services are available Monday through Saturday, 1440. Student Ministries equips students to make every minute count for the glory of God for ages 13 to 18. Commander Kelly and the Super Kid Academy will be in session for kids ages 6 to 12. It's all free. July 4th through the 9th, the 2011 Southwest Believers Convention. For the household of faith, everything is going to be all right.